Prajapati
Api
Anushrutya
Anushrutya
Dhananjaya
Dhananjaya
Uditam
Uditam
Nasam
Nasam
Yarunam
Yarunam
Bhagavat
Bhagavat
Kathim
Kathim
Cha
Aam
Aam
Eka Ansa
Eka Ansa
Vakya
Vakya
Bhagavati
Bhagavati
Adhokshade
Adhokshade
Niveshita Atma
Niveshita Atma
Uparama
Uparama
Samshrite
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 Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Nasham Yadunam Bhagavad Gatim Chatam
Nasham Yadunam Bhagavad Gatim Chatam
Ehanta Bhatya Bhagavad Yadokshade
Ehanta Bhatya Bhagavad Yadokshade
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshite
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshite
Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Nasham Yadunam Bhagavad Gatim Chatam
Nasham Yadunam Bhagavad Gatim Chatam
Ekanta Bhaktya Bhagavad Yadokshate
Ekanta Bhaktya Bhagavad Yadokshate
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshite
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshite
Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Prithapya Nushrutya Dhananjayoditam
Nasham Yadunam Bhagavad Gatim Chatam
Nasham Yadunam
Bhagavad Gatim Chatam Ekanta Bhaktya Bhagavad Yadokshade
Ekanta Bhaktya Bhagavad Yadokshade
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshrite
Niveshitatmo Pararama Samshrite
Krita
Kunti
Api
Api
Also
Anushrutya
Anushrutya Overhearing
Dhananjaya
Dhananjaya
Arjuna
Arjuna
Uditam
Uditam
Uttered by
Nasham
Nasham
End
Yadunam
Yadunam
Of the Yadu Dynasty
Bhagavat
of the personality of Godhead.
Gatim,
disappearance.
Cha,
also.
Tam,
all those.
Eka Anta,
unalloyed.
Vakya,
devotion.
Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Adokshade,
transcendence.
Niveshitatma
Niveshitatma
with full attention.
Uparama
became released from.
Sanshite
material existence. Translation. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the young dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of material existence. Purport. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. As Maharaj Yudhisthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided, and thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead. The beginning of devotional service to the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body, and thus an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by unbelievers or ignorant people. But one cannot reach there by any material means, like a Sputnik or a space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body And one must prepare himself to go back to God by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport to go back to God. Translation again. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of the material existence. Samshuti. This is not a problem. Although we recognize that material existence is our problem, that doesn't mean we say that material existence is false. No, material existence is real, but it's the inferior real thing. It is the inferior reality, the shadow. Lord Brahma says, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bhavarti Durga. The material energy, the cosmic manifestation, is the shadow, Chaya Eva, certainly the shadow of the Supreme Lord, Govinda Mahadi Purushottama Bhagavan. So we're pursuing the shadow world, trying to make everything real. Now the shadows are real. So many times I've given the example. Here, I made the shadow, I think, yes, it's underneath. Now, if you think you want to shake my hand by shaking the shadow of the hand, you'll be quite unfulfilled in your mission. But that is what material life is like. You're grasping the shadow world and looking for satisfaction. You can just meditate on how that shadow, you can try to make it do so many things. You can clothe it, you can feed it, you can try to gratify it, but you've missed the actual hand. So we're struggling in a shadow world, trying to make flickering matter satisfy us. The wrath of flick, and it's flickering. And we wonder why we're not happy. The business of the flicker. So, material existence is the inferior reality. That's what Krishna explained. Krishna said, I've got two realities. One's inferior, the other is superior. It's not that the material world is false, is what impersonalists say. Just like you have gold, and if you make from the gold mine golden earrings, golden bracelets, how can you say the golden bracelets and golden earrings are false? They come from the gold mine. Generally, everything comes from Krishna, even the material world. So how can you say the material world is false? It's just not the place where you should be. You've wandered onto the wrong side of town. And you're experiencing difficulties. There are rough places on it. Okay, let's say that Juliet is chosen to wander up Huber Street at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now what would you expect to happen? Everybody knows what kind of people wander around Cuba Street, the upper end of 1 o'clock. So, similarly, you're wandering in the material world. What do you expect to happen? You expect knowledge, enlightenment? You expect satisfaction? You're wandering in the material world. Like you, Roberta. Wander around on tar alone, why not? Right. Eating up raw, go take your shoes in. But, if we say, Roberto, why not wander in the material world? Oh, sure. Right? There's no problem wandering around. Harmless, right? To find the safe parts of the material world. Material world is real, but we don't belong here. It's not where we should be. We are meant to be with Krishna. And to give you a remembrance of what it's like to be with Krishna before it comes to this place, attract you back to your real home. But we're so attached to matter. Have you all noticed how big that attachment is there? We complain about material life, but we hold on to it with great dogged determination. We complain, material world, but we don't give it up. This is our dilemma. How does a Vaishnava deal with the material world? We don't say it's false. We use it for Krishna's pleasure. What is false is our desire to lord it over the material world, our desire to enjoy the material world. Like video games, like arcade. Now you go to the arcade, you pay your money, and you work the machine. But that's what you're trying to do in the material world. The machine is your body, and the instruments are the senses. So you paid your money. The price to live in the material world is forgetfulness of Krishna. And you paid your price, you forgot Krishna, now you're in the material world, and you're struggling. What is false is the enjoying attitude. So a devotee does know how to live properly in the material world, even though it's inferior, because the devotee knows the superior art of engaging in the material world. In fact, the devotee can become so absorbed in serving Krishna that, as Lord Chaitanya teaches us to pray, Mama Janmini Janmini Shri Prabhupada, I don't even mind if I take birth after birth, as long as I have devotional service. When Krishna comes to the material world, he's not under the influence of material energy. And when Krishna's associates come, they're not under the influence of material energy. Similarly, a devotee can become so qualified that even though he or she is within the material world, he or she is not touched by the material world. But in the beginning, there seem to be so many disturbances for devotees. In the beginning means until you become very strong. That was really high. You can be around. Practicing Krishna consciousness. Some degree for 10, 15, 20 years and still be in the beginning. It depends on the sincerity and intensity of your purpose. Krishna consciousness is intense. You have to be intense because the material world is very intense. But the material world is inferior. So you have to radiate the superior intensity of bhakti if you're going to withstand the material world. Otherwise, it's not that our devotees should be like the soggy pieces of toast. You know, you take some toast, you dip it in milk or something, or tea, and it gets real soggy. Not that our devotees are supposed to be like that, and that's advancement. No. The devotees have to be intense about serving Krishna because they're operating within the material world. Reduced energy is intense. Like I was saying to the Kerry, thank you much. So they're at manners and law, and it's intense. But they were more intense with their sense of purpose and dedication. Therefore, even though they're in the midst of manners and law, devilish Kali Yuga center, still they're actually like they were associated with Lord Chaitanya. So it was the very intensity of their purpose that produced the spiritual world for them, where they could distribute the light of Krishna. Intensity has to be there. If you don't find your intensity in devotional service, you'll find it in mind. That's why people are attracted to romance, because they find it frustrating. They seem to promise intensity and absorption. That's a romantic experience. You know, this is the thing that seems to be so fascinating about the absorption of romance. For a while, your senses and mind are so absorbed, and this person seems like they can do everything for you. They can just push all your buttons. They can just, you know, make the fireworks explode in the sky. For a while, it seems that way. And you get this giddy feeling. Your head, you know, like, becomes in a daze, and you see the world differently. And then, of course, it doesn't last. Like a shooting star shoots through the sky, looking very attractive. And it's know that they're actually shooting stars. Who knows? But it's a scientific definition. We actually know what those things are. Nature of being a clinician, so you put names on things and you don't know what they are. You think like, oh yes, that's a shooting star, that's a meteor. Who knows? So, a shooting star, you look up. I'm sure you've all had experience walking at night with your friends, and one friend says, look, that shooting star, right? Then it's gone. That's what romance is like. Oh, look at that. It's gone. By the time you take a look at it, it's gone. But that initial first look, so attractive. And it promises absorption. The hole in my heart will be filled. The intensity will be, I'll feel the pull. There'll be something to get into, to absorb myself. I want to give of myself. Why don't we give of ourselves to Krishna? The real attraction is for Krishna, but we've forgotten Krishna. Therefore, we have to feel the pull of the material energy. I want to give myself to the material energy. It's amazing how we're so eager to give ourselves to some ordinary living entity, but to give ourselves to Krishna, oh, be careful. Give yourself to someone to please their senses, and they to please your senses. Oh, yes. No problem with that. Give yourself to Krishna. Is that crazy? We are. We've got a mental disease. The mental disease means we don't trust Krishna, but we trust our senses. And what have our senses done for us, birth after birth? So these bodies are a problem. These bodies, as we've often explained, are the repository, the storehouse of past karmic reactions and also past desires. So basically, the dirty things are stored in the body. Stored in the mind. Mind is also body. So it's not like we're having these innocent things called bodies. No. When you say the body is matter, you're not simply referring to flesh and blood. You're also referring to karmic reactions, contaminations you're bringing from past births. That's all there in the body. So if you're smart, you understand what your body is and you work to purify it. You have to scrub, just like in a hospital, they're supposed to always clean. Similarly, a devotee always cleans. Not only externally, speaking, of course, remains speaking internally. The devotee knows. The material world is a contaminated place. This body is a contamination. I have to constantly scrub. Not like we were discussing yesterday, I clean once a week. No. Nityam, Bhagavad Gita Seva. Always scrubbing by hearing Bhagavatam, serving Bhagavatam. That's why Srila Prabhupada and so many purports criticize this Bhagavatam, 7-day Bhagavatam. This is not our way. Always hear Bhagavatam, 7 days. Always hear Srila Prabhupada. That is our emphasis. We want people to always preach. Always preach. So, we have to know what we are dealing with. That's what we're trying to explain to people when they come to the law. Great patience, just like last night. I was thinking while I was speaking last night, how many times have devotees heard me go through this thing with the guests? But all right, just let me say now. Well, I hope they're not bored with it. It's necessary to get these people to start thinking about it. You have to deal with reality. They don't think about these things. And our job is to get them to think. Otherwise, there's no question of them making any further progress. Basically, we're trying to teach them how to be human beings. Basically, the loft is a place where people are introduced to human life. But you don't say it like that. You want to find out how to be a human being? You're an animal, so we'll teach you how to be a human being. You can't say it like that. So come to the loft. But basically, you can see what we're doing is introducing people to human life. What are you? It's always amazing. You hear those the same answers all the time. Now, it's amazing. Last night, five of the guests, all five said that we're more than matter. So then I had to point out, you understand that you have a gut feeling that is at odds with Western knowledge? Do you understand the implications of that? Have you gone to university and found any scientist who would teach you that you are something more than matter? Not accepted according to Western knowledge. This is on this dualism, and it's supposed to have gone out in the previous century. In the previous century, yes, many scientists thought that there must be the body and something else. But now, supposedly, that's old-fashioned. Although it is true, there are scientists who they think that there has to be something. But they can't express that as a scientific fact because it can't be empirically proven. Therefore, they just keep their feelings to themselves. And when you open a university textbook, open a school textbook, you'll just find we are matter. The fact you can empirically understand, supposedly. You can see matter, but you can't see spirit. What do you mean you can't see spirit? If you're qualified, you can see spirit, but no one wants the qualification. Like Emerson is learning how to garden. When he goes to a garden, he can see things we don't see. We just see some plants, some leaves, some dirt. And he'll be able to understand whether it's being taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. He'll know the different types of plants and leaves. So he's trained to have that vision. We don't have that vision. Similarly, you can also see the soul. Why do you just say, we can only see matter, so that's all that there is? You can also see the soul, but you have to become qualified. I hope you all are over having to hear the same old thing. If you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, he went through the same thing all the time. Baby knows when you I've said it so many. The soul passes through the body, the way that you over the age of death. People are so dull. They're duller than when Prabhupada was sitting in front of them. And so Prabhupada must reveal it. They wonder how I have come up with so many different examples and ways to present how we're not the body. We think, he's not thinking about us. He's thinking about higher things. No. So Prabhupada taught us that the highest thing is to be merciful to others, giving others Krishna. So, the actual high devotee is always there to how to benefit the low people. Not that, I'm high and I'm lost in my world of highness. No, the high thing is service to Krishna's senses. And the most intimate service to Krishna is service to Lord Chaitanya. Krishna is Lord Chaitanya. So a devotee is thinking how to gratify the senses of the Lord is pleased. They don't know what it means to be. And it always amazes me, because even sometimes it's austere for me to have to say things. What are you?
Oh, I'm a thought.
But what's possessing a thought?
Oh,
I know how to go. Then at the end, these people always say, like the lady and the mother of Nicholas. We never thought about these things before. So this shows you how degraded these times are. We're just discussing ABCs. It's like if you're supposed to already know how to read, and I'm telling you, ABCDFG, I've never heard that before. You're supposed to be literate, you're supposed to be able to read. You don't know the ABCs, so this is what we're having to cope with. But you see the result. When the people say, I never thought about that before, it means some progress has been made. Of course, they are forgetful. They're not philosophers. Therefore, they have to be understanding of Hare Krishna. They have to take prasad. They have to associate with devotees. Like your friend.
Adrian.
So, by association with devotees, she's starting to attract it. What is Krishna? Physically fit, but how do I become spiritually fit? I presented to her my usual presentation. Now, can't you think of something different? go throughout the rest of your life doing more of the same. Try to make a change. Try to go in a different direction. So, she's able to think like that because of association. And she wanted to read Bhagavad Gita. It was too hard for her. She thought, another sign of how to go. It's not that it's too hard, it's just they're so lazy. They're so lazy brain. Wasn't like that 20, 30 years ago. So many of us, when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, get a book like Bhagavad Gita and read it, no problem. One of the answers. George Harrison, he was popular then. Taking the cover of Bhagavad Gita, the picture on the cover, and they put on the label of his record for the individual world. So he just read Bhagavad Gita. Oh, yeah, that's not George Harrison. So, back then, the late 60s, mid 70s, end of the 70s, no problem. People could read a book like Bhagavad Gita. They still can read these days, but what is the problem? They're lazy. Their brains are so feeble. So you actually have to, that's another purpose of the law, is to assist them in getting their brain to start to turn over like an engine. Starting a car in the morning, you know. That's what it's like, you know. And that's the amazing thing of the law. You can start to see their brains begin to turn over. Rare it is that, you know, a person comes along, you know, they just stick a key in their brain and immediately, very rare. But 20 years ago, that was quite common. You know, it's not like that. You know, they sputter, they start, they stall out, and kind of just give them a jump, get some jump cables out, and that would jump the bad thing, you know. Brains are so dumb. So when they say, oh, well, they're just too hard for us, that means lazy. It's not too hard. And finally, when they do get going, you see it every time. Oh, this is nice. That too wasn't too hard. It's lazy brain. Lazy brain. I said, well, I thought it was too hard, so I read Perfect Escape, and that helped me to get into the way that someone that didn't feel was service for people. They can think about it. Tell you why I'm not interested. So, you know, well, you know, before he could sit Craig down, the phone rang. And it was one of his mates. So the guy said, oh, I'm here talking to a Hare Krishna. And the mate said, you're talking to a Hare Krishna? Ask him, does he have a perfect escape? That's a great book. Get one immediately. So he got one. So anyway, our point is that you have to be very compassionate. Urban preaching needs compassion. Sometimes it seems, the same thing every night, you know, hearing these people, the same concoctions, the same ignorance, everything. So this is compassion. It's like the book distributors, they hear the same lines every day, oh, no time, no money, no thanks. But Krishna is watching, he's watching, you're pleading on his behalf. That's what it means to be a devotee, to plead on Krishna's behalf. Please take up on me. Please read this book. Please become a human being. Krishna is watching. It's not that you're like alone and no one's caring. Krishna is noticing. I'll just see how this devotee is working so hard on my behalf and the thing for people to come to me. That's the way you get the attention of Krishna. Not by being selfish. So, our basic problem is before you realize that, it becomes to deal with the present situation. And we have to understand that the background we're coming from is not human. We have to clean ourselves up. We cannot take the way we react as natural. No, it's polluted. We have to become purified. Now, once again, in this verse, we have the reactions to very good association. You heard about Yudhisthira. Once Arjuna spoke to him the reality, Yudhisthira made his move. He decided, Yadu dynasty is gone, Krishna is gone, time for me to go back to Godhead. This is the effect of hearing. Hearing in the association of devotees. What did Lord Kapiladeva say? Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti vitthana rasayana kata. Such joshana asu apavarga vartamani shtara jyapavya nukrasyati. Lord Kapiladeva says, when the devotees, those dedicated to Sat, the eternal, when they gather together and talk about me, the talks are very powerful. Virya, very coaxing. Because that sangha, that association of devotees, it makes the talk very vibrant and potent. Very tasty for the ear. The sound goes into the ear. Bhavanti ritkarna prasayana kata. Through the karna, through the ear, into the heart. And then there's taste. Prasayana kata, the talk, that rasa, taste. Taj joshna ashu apabharga vartmani. And then, what is the further effect? The doorway to liberation. Swings wide open. The path to liberation presents itself. Shatara here from serious conditions. You get shut up, firm conviction. Rati, you get attraction for Krishna. And bhakti, love of God. These things develop. All by hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. So what we're doing at the loft is giving people a chance to hear about Krishna in Krishna's association, in the association of Krishna's devotees. Krishna's association is there because the devotees are there. If the devotees are sincere devotees, they're able to give Krishna. That is a very noble occupation, to give Krishna. You have to always analyze, am I giving Krishna? Am I just associating with the person? Giving material faith. It's constant reflection, constant struggle. I want to give the real thing. I want to give the pure thing. When you think like that, that's love. When you're constantly analyzing every day, how am I giving the pure thing? How am I associating with devotees? And of course, how am I, for the non-devotees, how am I actually giving Krishna and not some? Wall of physical, mental maya. So the constant analysis to make sure you're actually giving Krishna that love of, that's the beginning of love of Krishna. Krishna's watching. Just see how this person wants to give me. Just see how this person's going to analyze it. Am I really giving Krishna? How much this person cares about me? You wouldn't do it. You didn't care about Krishna. You didn't ask any old way. Like sentimental religion.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Not as good as about getting over. So how does that define any love? I'm getting over. Some of my folks, you know, oh, we all care for Emerson so much. When they come to Emerson's house, they just throw it in the van, and they can, you know, vomit everywhere, they pass you, and they go, oh, Emerson, I didn't know that. He's laying there, speaking, they're trampling over, oh, we love Emerson. You know, what are the views of all this stuff? If they actually care for you, they'll be very conscientious, right? They should be conscientious of that. That's the sign they care. So generally, it is actually a great honor to always be analyzing. Is this true or sufficient? You should always be analyzing our relationships with others. Is this true for Krishna? Am I actually giving Krishna conscious association? Don't feel bad that you have to do that every day. That's love. If you didn't care for Krishna, you wouldn't do that. You'd act any old way. But because you care for Krishna, therefore you're always analyzing. Is this the real thing I'm doing? Am I actually associating with others in a pure way? You can care about Krishna, you wouldn't never worry about all that. That's okay, very well I am. But as a devotee, you're always thinking, is this a good offering to Krishna? How am I benefiting this person to Krishna? And it takes a lot of prayer. I'm trying all the time. Whether it's Krishna, I'm just your tiny body part. Please let this be an offering. That's all I want to be an offering. You please help me to see how to share with you. Krishna knows you're being sincere. Oh, you're doing your best to be more insight, you need more knowledge. And Krishna says, out of compassion, I will be your heart. I'll give you more knowledge. I'll let you see what's going on. So just get used to it. Day by day, analyze it. Is this for Krishna's pleasure? Don't get tired of that. Don't think it's demeaning or it means you're not advanced. No, it means you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't care about Krishna. You wouldn't do it. Okay? Don't get tired and weary. I know sometimes the Holy Spirit says, no, that's the beginning of love. What? If you didn't care about Krishna, you wouldn't do that. So you might as well get into it. It's fun. Don't expect perfection immediately, but Krishna knows you're fine. Don't condemn yourself just because you're not a karma on overnight. It's a good life, you know. It's like a little child trying to walk, you know. Don't condemn yourself. Hey, why don't you know how to walk immediately? You know, it's a little kid. Picking yourself up, falling down, and, you know. We actually don't, there's no need to fall down in a spiritual sense. But sometimes we stop ourselves. Acting Krishna is liberal. Krishna says, even if according to bad habits of the past, unintentionally you make some mistakes. That's all right. There's no need to unintentionally make mistakes. But Krishna says, even if you do unintentionally make a mistake, you didn't plan it, this happens. Then, perform devotional service. Without thinking, popping them out. Something came upon me real quick. My ass straw like that. So you have to understand. Cautious. That's why it's the law for all these while you're in preaching, you have to do it. And effective. You have to keep up with the nature of the material world. That is the world. And our bodies and minds, they have to pass karmic influences. So we have to scrub constantly. Keep the place clean, keep the body clean, keep the mind clean. Always think, is this for Krishna? How will Krishna benefit my mind doing it? Anyone can do it. Kunti, keep doing it. Just by her overhearing the talks between Arjuna and Yudhisthira, she's also decided, I'm going to go back to Godhead. Kunti, she's Krishna's aunt. She's the sister of Krishna's father. She has maternal love of Krishna. She has Vatsayara, parental love of Krishna. And the next of the ocean is her father. She relates to Krishna as subordinate. He's a subordinate. But unlike Mother Yasoda, she knows Krishna's God. Mother Yasoda doesn't know Krishna. She doesn't know Krishna. So what's the scene after the Bhagavad Gita? Those prayers by King Kunti? I always recommend whenever you meet somebody who says, oh, what about the women in Krishna consciousness? To bring out a prayer by Queen Kunti. Oh, this is a book we study. Prayer is by a queen. Her prayers, they're such favorites of the devotees. She'll probably let you on stage by Queen Kunti 3 times. As much as Ajamil, you know, perfected on 2 or 3 times.
prepared by John Roderick, like prepared by King Henry. After the battle, so Jason officially is leaving Hastinapore to go back home to Dwarka. So he's coming before the heart. That's the feast he's taking on. He's the name of his subordinate. So he's coming to do that, but she knows he's a supreme person. So although Krishna's coming to touch her feet and say goodbye, she's offering prayer to our supreme person. So one of her prayers says, Kataraparam Amsanam, Bhuniyam Amaratmanam, Bhakti Yoga Vidhamanam, Katam Kashlema Ishtiyam. She says, Krishna, you are understood by the greatest karma hunter who know how to discriminate between matter and spirit. You are understood by the muni, the thoughtful person. Those who, amalatmana, those who are free from material contamination, no mullahs. That's the kind of person you are. So, to come from Dana Hishya, how can I, a woman, understand? How can I, a woman, see you? Now, why is it you see me? Why are you speaking like that? Yes. Yes. She is seeing Krishna. Krishna's come to touch her feet. She has total love of God. But still, it's not just that, oh, I am the greatest, I see Krishna. No, she's saying, how can I see Krishna? The greatest metaphysical talent, the greatest karma, but they can't see Krishna. What is the hope of me? How can I see Krishna? I'm so upset to see Krishna. She shows the humility. She has the perfection. But she's saying, oh, I'm actually very understand. How can you see Krishna? But she's saying, how do you know what she's saying? Read her prayers. Okay. Namaskar Purusham Kwajam, Ishwaram, Vakatir Padam, Alaksham, Sarvabhutanam, Hamsir, Vadiravastakam. I offer my repeat obeisances unto you, Krishna, who are the original person, the non-material happiness. You're the controller of the material cosmos. You're inside and outside everything. But the ordinary person can't do that. She thinks that you're there. Ordinary people can't. But you think it's keeping out of the room. I don't know. This is why ordinary people cannot understand Bhakti. She's being treated as superior to the Supreme Lord, but she's thinking I'm inferior. Now how do you put all that together? You can't. And she's going to present her plea to Krishna. Krishna, how can you go? If you think, Krishna, that because all the calamities are ended, therefore you can go, then I say that there be more calamities than this world. This is the magnetic attraction of Krishna. And in her prayer, she's describing that you need qualifications to be Krishna. You have to be karma. Her making her humble statement, she's describing the qualifications necessary for God's revelation. You see, there's a contradictory thing about bhakti. You want to get experience and knowledge through your senses, but with your present senses, you cannot experience this. So that's what causes problems. Therefore, people get real feisty then. You're telling us there's God, we don't see him, so what's the use? You're saying we just serve Krishna, we don't see Krishna. They get real frustrated. They're demonic, they get very angry. Where is this Krishna? Like Arjuna, I don't see any Krishna. So it seems to be a contradiction. We get knowledge through our senses. Our senses are used for getting awareness of things. But Krishna is adokshaja, beyond our sense possession. Adha means that which pushes down. Aksha means the eye. Ja means generated. So Krishna pushes down all knowledge generated by these material senses. They can't reach him. So What are we supposed to do next? What are we supposed to do with our senses? How else are we going to know anything? Just give up? Or get angry? What kind of God are you? You made it so we can't see you. No, you can see Krishna. You're becoming qualified to exercise science. Well, you probably just, you know, rip off the studies of exercise science. They make it sound so, you know, just to get your money. Because, you know, it reminds me of Sweden, where they give all the ordinary physical labor jobs very fancy names. It's like someone who just sweeps the office and mops the floors in the office. They're not called like a sweeper or a cleaning person. They're called a location maintainer. But similarly, in New Zealand, the prostitutes were protected. You know, we want to be called by a proper dignified title. We are sex workers. Yeah. We are part of the economy. We're working ladies. Exercise. This is the material world. You put a label on something and it makes it more than what it should be. So, you can study exercise science, fashion design, this, that. Why can't you study Krishna and become qualified to see Krishna? That is the real mission. So Kunti is saying it's possible. In the paradoxical expression of her humility, she's basically saying you can see Krishna. How can we limit to you? Well, here he is, being Krishna, and giving philosophical prayers in beautiful language, glorifying Krishna. So basically she's saying, yes, you can see Krishna, just follow the way I do. So now in this verse today, he overheard Arjuna speaking of what happened. The Yadu dynasty has ended. Krishna has disappeared. So she's going to engage in unalloyed devotional service. She's going to serve Krishna with full attention and in this way gain relief from material activity. Doing the thing that are dear to Krishna and becoming conscious, this is dear to Krishna. Understand what's dear to Krishna and consciously do it. Becoming dear to Krishna. Don't think Krishna is ungrateful, he knows it. But also expect that Maya will be there vigorously in the beginning. Maya's job, as you're speaking yesterday, is to discourage you from trying to sacrifice for Krishna, because once you start sacrificing for Krishna, you get Krishna's attention. So Maya wants to know how serious are you about sacrificing for Krishna. You capture Krishna in this way. My job is to make sure that your real intent is to serve Krishna instead of to serve him. In other words, you can get close to somebody and simply cause them to serve him. You thought that person would be very nice. And as they get close to you, they simply disturb you, they hurt you. So, Krishna's expert. He's the expert enjoyer. He doesn't have to worry personally about conditioned souls getting close to him with the wrong motives and disturbing him. In the beginning, they say, oh, there is so much Krishna. You are everything. As soon as they get close, So Krishna doesn't handle that person. Maya handles it. Maya says, all right, you want to get close to Krishna? I'll test you to see what you're real. So in the beginning, there'll be many disturbances. The Tradhis have to understand what that is. Maya checks in your sincerity of purpose. But if you go on,
Then Krishna notices, oh, you actually are sincere. And Krishna says, okay. Mama ate a pleasant and Maya made some choices. And if you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna personally reduces the mind. You have to get Krishna's attention, but expect that there'll be some impediments. Like they're coming on the ferry Sunday night. The sea was very rough. Well, that's what the material world is like. There'll always be upheaval. The seas will always be rough. You're a fool to expect otherwise. But don't blame Krishna. You wanted to come. And what's the envious, miscreant, tendency of conditioned souls? As soon as there's upheaval in the material world, they're cursing God. How can there be a God to allow such things? But when the strength dedicates, then, oh, this is very nice. The world as it should be. At least, if they want, they can be low-level God conscious and thank God for sense gratification. At least they should be equal. Understand that the strength is coming from God and that. But it's the strength of the Lord. My mother heard that her father was dying of cancer. My grandmother heard that her husband, my grandfather was dying of cancer. And when something material good happens, and her grandson is going to famous university, oh, the Lord's mercy. I'm sorry, at low level religion. Better than nothing. But Diva means, when there's sense dedication, oh, the good times are all because of me, I'm so expert. And when there's catastrophe, how can people talk about a God who never allows catastrophe to happen? They never say that we cause the catastrophe. A real devotee, however, isn't looking to the Supreme Lord for happiness or other things. A real devotee is looking to the Lord. So that you gotta work at that. Don't be spaced out. Understand, you gotta work at it every day. It's your job, becoming pure. So Queen Kunti is showing that anyone can become pure. Woman, anybody. No excuse. She has a position far beyond the greatest transcendental scholars, beyond the greatest sages and rishis, but still she's saying, how can I understand? Actually, she does. convert them and tell them to the end. Prove it. And then go to the minister. Some big tough looking guy, you know, tattooed over his face and you never think a guy like that would, you know, ever touch, you know, a book, but just think of our books, but no. Walking out there big and strong, frozen, even a father comes to Not that there weren't any devotees in the area, it's not like he had just got it. He obviously was reading, you know, he was kind of reading it. Maybe the same for that. All right.